Your name?
Oberon DeFreitas.
Your profession?
Right now I'm retired, ex-school teacher, currently a farmer.
How'd you get into farming?
When I was growing up back in the 50s, I heard of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he was asking the United States to give black folks five states because we needed a land base. It was taken out of Africa, taken from our land, and we were asking for five. He was asking for five states at that time. Well, that never happened. And then Malcolm X, in his speeches, I heard him also remind us that we are landless people, and we have to get land. And so that idea stuck in my head, and I was finally able to go ahead and purchase a farm back in 1987.
And we'll come back to maybe the farm in a little bit. I wanted to talk about this Ward 8 Farmers Market. You've just packed up your stuff. We're sitting in your truck as you're about to head back to your farm. Can you talk about this Ward 8 Farmers Market that you're a part of?
Since 87, I've been trying to learn the techniques of farming. And in 2000, I moved down to the farm that I was buying. And so I really had an opportunity to learn more of the techniques from the Mennonites down there, from trial and error. And so when I started producing some items, I needed a place in which to sell my items. And I wanted to come back to Southeast. I taught in Southeast for 27 years. I lived in Southeast for some 30 years. And the only place I wanted to bring my goods was Southeast. So I inquired with the agricultural department. They told me of the Ward 8 Farmers Market, and I got in touch with the personnel that was there, Mrs. Dunlap, Miss Ann Dunlap. She was one of the persons selling items at the market. She introduced me to John Glasper, who started the market some 12 years ago, and that's how I was introduced to the Ward 8 Farmers Market, and I've been with them about 7 years now.
You mentioned that Southeast is one of the only places you would want to bring your produce. How badly does Southeast need fresh fruits and vegetables?
Southeast needs a whole bunch of things. It's one of the poorest quadrants in Washington, D.C. area. We don't eat properly. We suffer from, when I say we, I mean the black culture in Washington and throughout the United States. We eat a lot of fried foods. That's not good. We need fresh fruits and vegetables. We eat too much meat. Meat, I believe, is the only source that cholesterol comes from. And so the folks in Southeast, the folks throughout D.C., all people, everywhere in the world has to learn the ills of the consumption of too much meat. America is a meat-eating society. It's firmly entrenched in the culture. And so we have to break that. People suffer from obesity. We suffer from diabetes. Cholesterol clogging up the arteries contributes to heart disease. And so we have to learn to eat, you know, apples as snacks, not McDonald's hamburgers, hot dogs. Hot dogs contain sodium nitrate. We have to learn to read the ingredients on all the products. We have to learn what's good and what's bad. And as I said, sodium nitrate is a killer. You heat it, it turns into nitrosamines, and that's a cancer. So that's the reason I come and I sell my produce, sell my neighbor's produce, mainly fruits and vegetables. And And I came to Southeast to spread that message, not only to bring up sweet tasting watermelons and sweet apples and some of the best tasting corn you'll ever have in your life. We have to introduce these constantly to our people in Southeast, people in Northwest, people in the White House, wherever people are eating cholesterol-loaded foods, foods that are full of additives, pesticides, foods grown in soil that's been sprayed with herbicides. As long as we continue to do that, we're going to suffer from these ills that's killing our people at an early age.
Do you use pesticides and herbicides on your produce, on your farm?
No, sir, I don't. It's difficult. How do you deal with bugs? I've purchased products such as neem oil. They say that's organic. Well, I question these organic certification boards that are allowing sprays to be used. As I said, they say it's harmless, but we never know. These chemical companies might be telling us anything to sell our products. So no, I do not use herbicides in the soil, and I don't use pesticides on the products. I just allow, the bugs to take their share.
Can you talk about this buyback program that this Ward 8 Farmers Market, people come and buy produce, but there's also a program where you have a guaranteed certain amount of sales, and that those fruits and vegetables go to feeding programs throughout the week, and they also go to corner stores. This is a unique program which maybe could be replicated other places if people knew what was going on here.
Yes, we got a grant. The Farmers Ward 8 Market got a grant 3 years ago with the aid of American University law students and personnel that are in charge of those students. We got a grant for Ward 8 Farmers Market, got a grant for $50,000. And with that $50,000, they allowed three of us farmers to receive $250 every Saturday that we come up to the market. And for that $250 that's guaranteed us, we give our produce to the John Gloster, Virginia, what's Virginia's last name? Major, to Virginia Major, and they distribute the food, as Peter just said. They distributed food to corner markets here in Southeast and to some of the feeding programs in Southeast. I think it's Capital Food Bank is a recipient, is one of the recipients of the buyback program, if I'm not mistaken. John Gloster would be able to give the specifics of exactly the organizations that the food goes to. I know there is one program in Southeast. It's run by Miss Hannah Hawkins. I think it was the need of children. Mm-hmm. But Miss Hannah Hawkins, she's been feeding youngsters for 30 years, and she's one of the recipients. Her group is one of the recipients of foods that's given to the buyback program. Hopefully, we will receive another grant next year. This is the third year, and when the market closes on November 20th, that will be the end of our funding, unless we receive another source.
Oberon, how does it feel not just to sell your produce on a Saturday, or sometimes it's Tuesdays and Saturday, you're now at the United Medical Center on Southern Ave, formerly Greater Southeast Hospital, but to have this buyback program so your produce stays in some of the corner markets that can have an impact all week long, so people have access where normally you just don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables in this part of the city.
Yeah, folks, they could buy from the Giant. We have a Giant, a Safeway, I think, in Oxon Hill, but we have a Giant See, the Giant of Safeway up on Alabama Avenue in Southeast. So folks are familiar with seeing produce, fresh fruits and vegetables. But it's the corner stores that offer these to the people in the neighborhood at a lower price. And then when they taste some of the, as I said, the corn and the watermelon that we have put into the program, they'll ask the proprietors in the corner stores, "Well, where did you get this from?" And he'll tell where he got it from. Probably relate on to them that it's locally grown, it's fresh picked. Hopefully, people will get an interest in purchasing more fresh fruits and vegetables, even when they go to the Giant or the Safeway. The advantage with the farmers market is that many of the items are picked the day before, the night before, a couple of days before, so most of our items are fresh. I can't speak for Giant or Safeway, but I know some of the produce that I've brought up here, some of the produce that I've grown, tasted better than some of the stuff I've tasted come out of Giant and Safeway.
You taught for quite a long time. Was this 27 years?
27, yes.
27 years in Southeast. There's been a lot of debate about education recently in D.C., but not a lot of talk about poverty. And yet, recently on the front page of the Washington Post, they reported that 43% of African American children in D.C. are living in poverty. And so when kids go to school and are hungry, it doesn't seem to matter how good a teacher is. And yet all the focus has been on the teacher and not on whether the kid's got a full belly and a good place to sleep at night. You're farming. You come from teaching. These two issues really haven't gone together much, but I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I was glad. I read, I think it was the Washington Post, I read a couple of days ago, there was an article, I think it was in October the 20th, there was an article, and I was really glad to see that it's going on, that children in some of the schools now in Washington, D.C. are getting dinner. They not only receive breakfast in the D.C. public schools, they not only receive lunch in the D.C. public schools, but now the D.C. public school has finally found some funding to give children a dinner meal. And the menu is changing. The menu is going, more fruits are being introduced in the diets in the schools, more nutritious items, fruits, vegetables. So I was glad to read that about the D.C. government is now including in their budget meals, evening meals for children. Yeah, if children are not properly fed nutritious items, the brain don't function as it should. So food is connected to college. I mean, we teachers, we can encourage all we want. We can teach skills that will hopefully, if the children practice the skills and learn the skills, they will be, by the time they're 18, able to pass the SAT test, go on to college. But if a child is not fed properly, the body doesn't grow properly. And you brain capacity is directly related to nutritious foods. And so I see that farming is connected to teaching. I encourage every individual, be they a doctor, lawyer, a dentist, a truck driver, it doesn't matter what your profession, secretary, a person who works on planes, they have pilots, and it doesn't matter. Everybody should learn how to grow food. Everybody. You can grow herbs in a container. Put them in a sunny location in your house. You got your own food, and you know exactly when you consume those items, you know exactly what's not been put on them that's harmful to your health, as well as you learning how to be self-sufficient. That's another thing that Malcolm X taught us, Nation of Islam taught us. You know, we have to become self-sufficient, each and every one of us. United States is at war right now, 2010. Yes, the troops are, some of them are being withdrawn, but there are still many over there now in Iraq. There's a war going on in Afghanistan. So this country is at war down in Mexico. They're fighting armed violence down in Mexico. That's right on America's border. And so if America does not try to help people, if America's answer to people's conflicts between American politics and foreign people's politics, if America's answer is, well, let's go bomb them, you're only making enemies. And when you make enemies, you're at war, the same thing could happen over here. And if we're bombed out, if the stores are closed, if the water systems are poisoned, we have to learn how to go into the woods and live off the vegetation in the woods. We have to learn how to grow food in the woods. We have to learn how to grow food on the grass right outside our, you know, where we live. We're so concerned about having a pretty lawn. Well, we should be equally concerned, not just having a pretty lawn, but a beautiful, nutritious garden right outside where we live. Everybody should do that. And grow it in containers. You can grow a tomato plant in a container. And throughout the growing season, you can bring the plant inside. That will extend the growing season. One plant will produce 30 to 60 tomatoes in a growing season. Like I say, you bring it inside, furnish it with the warmth and some sunlight, you can extend the growing light of a tomato plant. And if you can grow a tomato plant, man, you can grow any plant. You can grow an eggplant, you can grow a watermelon, you name it, you can grow it. We should be learning how to grow instead of putting ornamental trees outside of our homes. We should encourage the people who we rent from, who owns the property. And of course, when we own our own property, we should grow nut trees. We should grow fruit trees. You know, I mean, it's just crucial that we do that. That's been my point of view. And I, as an individual, I decided that at least I was going to do something about it. And it's fun. And it's nothing beautiful. It's nothing more beautiful than to take a little seed, plant it, nurture it, and it grows into a plant. It grows into a tree. It's edible. That's what we have to be teaching our schools as parents. As parents, we have to be teaching that to our children. In schools, we have to teach children to nurture, you know, nurture a seed. And when you nurture something, that gives you more a caring attitude and the delight of seeing your little seed, nurturing that little seed, and it grows into something. That's what we all have got to be doing, all of us.
I wonder, as we sit outside United Medical Center, a hospital, how many people wouldn't end up in the hospital sick if we heard these words, if we did, like you're saying, grow some of our own food, have a better connection to food, eat some of the stuff that you grow, which I've had some of, it's excellent. A few of us would then, later in life, not have to visit hospitals like this one as frequently as Americans do.
Oh, definitely. There'll be far less people entering the hospital if they ate fresh fruits and vegetables, if they grew their own, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables. I believe, I've heard it, I believe I'm correct when I say the only source of cholesterol, which clogs up the arteries, which leads to failure of all the major organs. Arteries leading to the heart gets clogged up because of cholesterol. Well, the only source of cholesterol are meats and meat products. There is no fruit or vegetable that contains cholesterol. And I'll venture to say, if there is, it's the beneficial type of cholesterol. There is good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol. Well, meats produce and meat products produce cholesterol. The meats, the eggs, the yolks in the eggs, the white portion of the eggs, I do believe. Milk. There are other sources of milk. There's soy milk. There's almond milk. There's rice milk. good tasting stuff. But so why do we continually eat meats and meats products? Well, meats taste good. Yes. And then the food industry advertises it. You see very few items that's telling us, very few advertisements that's telling us the major source of cholesterol, or the only source of bad cholesterol, are meats. The meat industry wouldn't stand for it. Like, you remember Oprah? Oprah, I think it's been about 2 years ago. The meat industry came after her. I believe they even sued her because she was saying the same basic message. You know, that meats, we have to find an alternative to meats. Put your lips, put your teeth, put your taste buds on a sweet-tasting apple. Man, you'd leave ice cream. You would, on occasions, leave ice cream alone and rather choose a sweet apple or a pear or a peach or some delicious corn. We would stop going into, the fast food places for our main diet.
And the government, you know, these hamburgers actually, I've seen a short movie called The True Cost of a Hamburger, are really quite expensive to produce, but the subsidies are going to the largest producers, you know, and then the subsidies, how many subsidies do you get?
None, but Pete is absolutely right. You know, the government subsidizes these huge producers, these huge farms, that's producing the very thing that I say is killing us. Heart disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes. It's government subsidized industries that's feeding us this stuff. And so it's in the interest of these corporations, you know, not to send out this message. It's in the interest of the political leaders of the nation, of the states, local counties. It's in the interest of these political leaders to continue to do the same thing. Of course, there's a few exceptions. The Green Party, they are trying to Miss McKinney, I think it's can't remember.
Cynthia McKinney, former Democratic Congresswoman in Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Now Green Party.
Because she got tired of the same old stuff. She evidently believes in what the Green Party stands for, and that is to grow green. You know, there's an alternative to what's been going on, a healthier alternative to what's going on. And I applaud Ms. McKinney for leaving the Democratic Party and switching over to a basically hardly unknown party. It's receiving more and more attention over the last few years. She ran as a presidential candidate, I think it was back when Obama was running, and of course she couldn't, you know, who knew of the Green Party. So I voted for Obama. I'm not lying, I sure did. My mistake. I should have voted for Ms. Kenny. I certainly believed in her philosophy, and I still do. Hopefully, Mr. Obama will undertake some of the practices that she voiced.
Any final thoughts you want to share, Oberon? And thanks so much for taking the time. I know you have to get back to your farm. It's been a long day. You wake up early and have wake up early, come here, sell your produce all day long. So. Thanks for taking the time, and any final thoughts you want to share?
Oh, only that I'm so glad to have the opportunity to have Pete Tucker representing WPFW, and so I'm glad to have had the opportunity to voice my opinion on what I think is a better nutritional approach to life, and I'm glad that WPFW came out to Ward 8 Farmers Market to ask some of our opinions out here. rather than just to go over to, you know, the markets in Northwest. I know Miss Obama, she started, and that was good. She started a garden on the White House lawn to set the example of what we all have to do. But I'm glad that Mr. Tucker came out and asked me what I thought, rather than just go down to the White House or Northwest or Northeast or down down at the market on 7th Street or the more popular places.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.